Good to see everyone tonight. Hallelujah. I have something in my heart to share with you regarding stewardship tonight. And I was praying and I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to minister on? And you know, direction comes for a message different ways and at different times. And sometimes I don't know till the day I'm going to minister. Sometimes I know in advance, sometimes I know when I'm praying, and sometimes he'll just tell me when I'm driving in my car. But he just said very clearly he wanted me to minister on stewardship of our body, our physical body. And so how many of you know the Holy Ghost knows what we need? I don't know on my own. But so he said that, and that must mean we need to know it. Amen. Sometimes it's because of something that we're in during a present season, or sometimes it's because he's trying to prevent something or to help us in the future. Amen. And so open with your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And go to verse 19. And I'm going to share this with you concerning stewardship of your body. And you can write this down. It's very simple. Or you can look it up yourself when you get home. I just went online and looked up some general definitions of stewardship, and they all kind of said the same basic thing. So I'll share with you what I got. It says, the responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. The responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. And so how many of you know we are not our own? We were bought with a price. And so even though we might think our body belongs to us, it really doesn't. All we're doing is being a steward of something that belongs to the Lord. And you'll see here that we're actually the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so it's not just, you know, your bones and your muscles and all those types of things. It's actually something so much more important. And, you know, you can get a new car. You can get a new house. You can replace your clothes. You can replace your shoes. But there's only one thing that you get, and that's your body. You only get one of those. And if you don't treat it right and you wear it out early, you'll go home early. And God has work for us to do. And so, you know, how many of us spend time taking care of our cars, taking care of our clothes, taking care of our shoes, taking care of our homes and our yards and all those things? And those things are good. We should be good steward of those things. But what about our natural body? Those things are much less important than our body. And so the Lord expects us to do what we heard here, which is to protect something, to have a responsible oversight of those things that he entrusted to us, and that one thing is our body. Amen. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and I'm going to read it in the King James, and then if you could go right over to the Amplified. Could you bring that scripture up, please? What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then go to the Amplified, please. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? Wow, so if we thought of our body like that, there'd be a whole lot of things we wouldn't do with our body anymore, right? If we thought about it as housing the very Holy Spirit of God. He lives within us, and we have received as a gift from God. We are not our own. Go to verse 20. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so tonight, we're going to talk about some ways in which we can glorify God in our body. And that includes taking care of our body. So I'm just going to share with you some very general ways in which you can care for your body to begin with, preventative ways. You know, because, you know, when you go to the doctor every year, which you should do, you should have a yearly physical. You know, sometimes once you turn 18, you forget to do that. And someone asks you how long it was since you went to the eye doctor, since you went to the, you know, audiologist, or since you went, you know, to have a physical and all those kinds of things. We can't even remember what year that was. But to be a good steward of what God entrusted us with, we should take care of it. And that includes having a physical every year. Amen. And I know most people don't enjoy the doctor. You know, for whatever reason, there's just a general fear about doctors. But if we thought about it right, we wouldn't feel that when we went. You know, it has taken me a long time to go to the doctor in faith. And just my natural mind would try and tell me things. You know, the doctor's going to do this. He's going to say this is wrong or, you know, whatever. And so you sort of dread it, so you just avoid it, you know. And God expects us to take care of our bodies, you know, as a preventative measure, you know. And so when we go, we should go in faith. And so what I do is I believe God that my doctor will have supernatural wisdom, that he'll have supernatural revelation, that when I go in to see him, that he's going to have wisdom from God, that he's going to have something that I might need to know, and that if there's something that needs to be revealed, it will come to the forefront. And so I say, Lord, I thank you, I get to go. And this time is blessed, and whatever else I might confess during that time. And so go in faith. And sometimes I know as Christians that, you know, we've been taught our words have importance, that they have matter. And so we have to be cautious about those things that we say. So sometimes when someone has symptoms in their body and they go to the doctor, they don't want to tell the doctor what's happening because they feel like they're just giving a bad report. And that's not true. Because we know that just telling facts is not the same as knowing the truth. So you can tell the doctor the facts, but still know the truth, okay? So in order for your doctor to help you, you have to tell him the facts. You know, you don't just go in and pretend nothing's happening if something's really happening, amen? And so, you know, but what does the Bible say in Hebrews? That we're supposed to live by faith. And so all things that we do in faith. When I go get my hair cut, I go in faith. Father, I just thank you. I have words of edification, exhortation, and comfort for those people that I go in and see. Because you're going to be there, at least women are there, usually a couple hours. And so, you know, you're going to talk to someone for a while. I thank you, Lord, when I go today, it's going to be a divine encounter, that I'm going to have something to say to them that will bless them. When I go to the grocery store, I thank you, Father God, that I have interaction with the right people. And you know, because I've done that many times, the Lord has talked to me and told me things to do when I got to those places. Many, many times when I would go to Wegmans, the Lord would tell me, go home and get this that you have and bring it back to that cashier. Or if I went to the doctor, he would say, go back to your house and get this and mail it to that nurse or whatever. And he would speak to me about those things. Why? Because my faith was out there for that. And so when I go somewhere, I don't just go for me. I don't go to the grocery store just for me. I don't go to the hair salon just for me. I don't go to the doctor just for me. What does someone else need? Because how many of you know, we live in a lost and hurting and dying world. And so we're to bring what we have to them. Amen? And so the first thing you can do is to have a physical. The second thing that you can do is to get enough sleep. Amen? Did you know most people require 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night to operate, for their body to operate well long-term? Anyone can do it short-term, but it's not healthy for you to do it long-term. You know, short seasons, obviously, when you have an infant or there might be a project at work and it's a couple weeks long and you just have to, you know, have less sleep for a certain amount of time. But overall, we should be getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep. And when we don't, do you know the enemy takes advantage of that? Because a lot of times when we don't get enough sleep, what happens is you're not alert like you should be spiritually. So when certain things come, you don't resist it like you should. And so the enemy takes advantage of the fact that you're too sleepy to attend to it. You're too tired to pay attention to what you should have had authority over and used your faith on. And also, I know this, that if I get too tired, a lot of times the enemy will try and bring that spirit of fear. And have you ever noticed when you're exhausted and you haven't rested enough that sometimes that spirit of fear operates more? Because that's a weakness. It's not necessarily an open door, but a weakness, not having enough sleep. And so I understand we all have jobs and kids and, you know, commitments that we have. But listen, a lot of times if we would look at our schedule, we would realize that we're spending a lot of time on things we don't really need to. And we're required to be a good steward of what we saw, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so the next thing that I wanted to share with you is this. Listen to your body. Listen to your body. Do you know many times people already know what it is that they should do or shouldn't do? You know, have you heard, for example, today I did go have a physical. It just happened to fall. Normally I don't schedule things on Wednesday because of service, but and especially if I'm preaching, I don't. But, you know, you have to schedule those things way in advance, and if you don't keep that appointment, it's like another 6 months before you can get back in. And so I didn't really have any choice. And when I went, the doctor made some comment, and I said, "Do you work a lot?" And he said, "Too much." And what I know is that's his spirit, his heart. Even if he's not born again, that the Lord would witness to his conscience that you're doing too much. And so sometimes when we say, "I'm just so tired," and you hear yourself saying that all the time, that's the Holy Ghost trying to bring that to your conscience so you obey it. Amen. And so when you hear yourself say, "I'm just so worn down," you know, whatever's coming out of your mouth regarding your body, and when you say, "I should," and then whatever you follow that with, because we know out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So that's the Lord trying to get across to you what you should do for your life. Have you ever heard yourself say, "I really know I need to," and then fill in the blank? See, that's the Holy Ghost trying to witness to you what you need to do. And it's gotten so big in you that it's actually coming out your mouth. Amen? And so, because sometimes we think when it's just a fleeting thought, or we only thought at one time that was that God, was that not God? But by the time it's coming out of your mouth, it's gotten so big in you that you're now saying it. And so that means you need to heed that now. If you haven't till this point, you need to heed that now. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You're not far from there. Verse 26. Listen, I understand, you know, at nighttime and, you know, your kids are in bed, you're finally done with work, you know, dinner is over, the dishes are done. You know, nobody is demanding something of you, and you think, "I finally had this time, and I'm just going to stay awake as long as possible because no one needs me, because it's quiet now, you know, because you're alone, because you have free time." I understand that. And it's not wrong to have free time. We should have time that we enjoy doing something fun, that we do something relaxing, that we do something refreshing that isn't work. We should have that. But a lot of times what happens is what you could do and should do for maybe an hour turns into like four, you know. And so, you know, if you need to be refreshed in that way, that's okay. Everyone does. That's right to do. But we shouldn't do it exclusively. That we should also include the rest that we need, that we should also include time of prayer that we need. And so sometimes what we do is we do have enough time, we just haven't allotted it how we should. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're on 1 Corinthians 9, 26 is where we should be in the Amplified. "Therefore, I do not run uncertainly or without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary." It'll make more sense when we get to the next verse. Go ahead. "But like a boxer, I buffet my body. I handle it roughly. I discipline it by hardship. I subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel, the things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit." So if you don't, and also not just unfit, but not able to stand the test and unapproved. And so sometimes our problem has been that we have not handled our body how we should. Amen. And when we don't handle our body how we should, we become unfit. And when he said that you're not able to stand the test, how many of you know what the enemy tries to do is just wear you down? He comes with the same thing over and over and over and over again to try and get you to believe it, to try and get you to participate in it, to try and get you to agree with it. And when you're tired, you're not able to stand as well against that. And sometimes, have you ever gotten to this point where you just want to let it lay down, let it wash over you? Like, I'm just done now. I'm fine. Fine. You know, and that happens because we've gotten too tired. Because when you're rested and refreshed, you'll stand your ground. Amen. You know, all the things that we've talked about listening to your body, about making sure you take care of your body, about getting enough sleep, those things are preventative care. And it is easier, and listen to me because I have experience in this area of having failed, okay? And so you want to learn by someone else's mistakes, not your own mistakes. It's easier that way. And so I failed in this area, and I didn't heed the things that I knew in my heart I should do, and I violated that, and it affected my body. And so it's easier if you keep things out than if something then gets into your body because you violated those things, and now you've got to get that out. You know, we have two little bunnies, Jack and Isaac. We have a little black dwarf bunny. And then Jack looks like a wild rabbit, but he's just kind of a mix. He's a mutt. They didn't really know what he was, but he's real cute. But you know, rabbits are real strong. Their legs are real strong, and they can push off you and get away real quick. And so we have two rooms down in our basement. Well, several rooms, actually. We have one big open playroom, and it's finished. You know, the kids have their toys down there and stuff. And Jack, it lives in that room. His cage is in that room. And then we have another room, and it's a utility room. It just has a cement floor, and the water softener, and the hot water tank, and all that stuff is in that room. And so one day, Jack got out of the playroom where his cage is, and he ran into where the utility room is. And I didn't know it, but there was a gap that they had not filled, and Jack went in between the outside basement wall and the inside basement wall and got lost in the wall. Because rabbits like to burrow. So they find the tiniest little spot and get in. And so after about a day, I said to Tim, I'm like, we got to get this rabbit out. And I don't know where he went. I can't see him. I can't hear him. He's gone. And so a little while later, I think it was later that day, so he would have been gone almost 2 days. I told Tim, I said, if Jack dies in there, it's going to stink here for like a month. So we got to get him out. So I called Pastor Chris, because he's on staff, and he can find anything. You know how Brother Hagen, like his little gift was that he could pick any lock? Pastor Chris can find anything. He's recovered lots of stuff for our family. And so I said, you need to come up here and find Jack. He's in the wall somewhere. So what he had done was he had crawled the whole length of the basement inside that wall and ended up in the other utility room on the opposite side of the basement. And so it has, you know, all the insulation and then that clear plastic that's like stapled on there. And his face is all like smushed up in there. And so Pastor Chris got him out. But listen, it had been a whole lot easier if we just hadn't let him in the utility room to begin with than to then have to try and get them out, because they're real slippery. You know, Tim and I had them cornered one time, me on one corner of the cage, Tim on the other corner of the cage, and he's back here, and he still got away, because their fur is real slick, you know, real silky, and their back legs are real strong, so they just push off. And so, but what I'm trying to tell you is, now, when we open Jack's cage, we shut the door to the utility room first. Because if he's in the playroom, it's not a problem. It's just a square room. There's nowhere for him to go. Eventually, we're going to catch him and get him back in, you know. But it's a whole lot easier if we just keep him out of that room than if we let him in and then got to try and get him back out. And so the same thing is true with your body, that it's a whole lot easier if you just follow what the Holy Ghost says to you, if you just follow wisdom concerning your body, what you know you should do to take care of your body, to stay out of trouble with your body. Amen. So you don't get in, so that your health stays, so that you stay healthy, so that you don't become sick, so that you don't have trouble in your body. Amen. And some things are just an attack. Don't get me wrong. you know, some things are with a purpose and the enemy comes after you and, you know, he might afflict you with something, and that's different. I'm not saying that. But sometimes it's just of our own ignorance because we've opened the door. Amen. Now go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 5, hallelujah, it's just safe to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. One time back in the old building, remember, Pastor Brad, it was a while ago, Timothy would have been a baby, really. I think he was maybe like 6-7 months old or something like that. And we were all going to go out to eat to Applebee's, and it was after service, and I think it was Saturday night service then. Yeah, Saturday night service. And we were all going to go out to eat after. And on the inside of Tim and I, we both thought, don't go to dinner. We were like, we want to go to dinner, though. We're hungry. I don't want to cook. And so we violated that. And the next morning, Tim woke up with food poisoning. And so I came to church. And by the end of church, I was like, oh, something ain't feeling too right. So I went home, and I ended up getting food poisoning. And Sarah actually ended up coming to take Timothy because I couldn't even take care of Timothy. And so what was that? The Holy Ghost trying to prevent that. He was trying to keep us safe from having to go through that. But instead, we decided to have it our own way. And so then there are consequences for having it your own way. So it's a whole lot safer. Whatever the Lord is witnessing to you concerning your body, it's just easier, safer, and a blessing if you just follow that. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And so the next thing that I wanted to share with you, not only do we have preventative care concerning our body, but that we ask the Lord for wisdom concerning our body. You know, because some things are not necessarily revealed through a test at the doctor, or maybe something that you know directly, and you need the Lord to tell you what's happening. For example, for years, I would have the sensation on a daily basis that the room shifted. It wasn't a dizziness. It wasn't a spinning. It wasn't, you know, like vertigo type stuff. It was just like everything shifted a little bit, and it would be, you know, sporadically every day throughout the day. And this was up until just this winter. And so that happened for years. And, you know, I had gone to the doctor, then they sent me to other doctors, and then those specialists send you to other specialists. And so I was, they gave me every scan and scope and, you know, test that was available. And those things are not much fun. And so they said, finally, we're convinced it's just an allergy. We don't know what to what, but we're convinced it's some kind of allergy. So then I'm taking, you know, one allergy medicine after another, and that's not resolving it. Then they had me taking steroid spray, and that's not resolving it. One doctor had me put some kind of oil drops in my ear, and that's not resolving it. You know, I pretty much, I was like the guinea pig for all these doctors. And, but meanwhile, the whole time, I'm asking the Lord to reveal it to me. Because I don't, although I believe in going to the doctor and I want to partake of their wisdom and that sort of thing, I always run it through my spirit. When the pediatrician would tell me things to do with my kids, sometimes I did it, sometimes I didn't. You know, I would follow what my heart said. You know, we got our kids vaccinated, not that, but, you know, of certain other things that they wanted you to do. Some things I did and some things, no, we're not doing that. Okay, and so anyways, I know the doctors aren't getting it, but this whole time I'm believing James 1:5, asking the Lord for wisdom concerning this area. And so I don't have any direction, but I deduced two things, really. I got it narrowed down to two things. Either I open the door and I have to shut that door. I walked out of love, or I did something, got to shut that door, or else this has something to do with what I'm eating and what I'm drinking. And so I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, do I have any open doors? Have I done something I shouldn't? Have I violated your word? You know, you can have the sin of commission, but the sin of omission. Did I omit doing something, you know, that you told me to do or not to do? And so I felt clear in my heart it was nothing. So then, recently, a few months ago, I was at the school picking up my kids and just having a normal conversation with another mom. And for whatever reason, the Holy Ghost getting help to me, she started talking to me about one of her friends, and her as well, that they had an allergy to fake sugar and how that had affected their body. And one of her friends was actually having symptoms of like MS. And so she finally got it figured out, what it was, and both of them were allergic to fake sugar. Well, fake sugar is in just about everything that you drink, if it's diet or if it says it's sugar-free. And so I didn't know, but Steph told me after, she said Propel has that in it. And we used to drink a lot of Propel. And also Tim and I used to drink this diet blueberry tea, which also had fake sugar in it, which I didn't know. And then when I would drink hot tea, I'd put Splenda in it. So all my drinks pretty much outside water and milk have fake sugar in it. And so there was just something on the inside that witnessed to me that's what it is. And so I stopped drinking all that stuff, and it went away like that. Amen. And so now listen, it took me years to get that answer. And, you know, it doesn't have to take you that long. You know, I might be a little slow on the uptake when it comes to those sort of things. But listen, I persisted. I just refused. I used my faith on it nonstop. No, Lord, you are the revealer of secrets. That you share what's a mystery and hidden truths. You share those things with your children. Do you know it says of Daniel? Remember when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream? And it alarmed him and it scared him. And when he awoke, he couldn't totally remember what the dream was, but he knew it wasn't good. And so he called for all the the sorcerers and the magicians and all the wise men of Babylon to come and tell him what the dream was and give the interpretation, or he was going to kill them all. So none of them could do it. And they went to Daniel, you know, and Daniel said, I know what to do. God will reveal it. He's the revealer of secrets. Amen. And so what did Daniel do? He went to God on King Nebuchadnezzar's behalf and asked him, Lord, what is this dream and what's the interpretation? And the Lord told him what that was, and his life was spared. And Nebuchadnezzar said, your God is the revealer of secrets. And so I would remind the Lord, you said to ask of wisdom. I need wisdom in this area. I don't know on my own. And so I continued to believe, and he revealed to me what it was. And so it might not take you that long. You know, certain things take different lengths of time. And so you might know within 6 months, or you might know within a month. It doesn't have to take that long. It took me that long. Amen. And so ask of God wisdom concerning that. Even notice that Daniel was able to go on King Nebuchadnezzar's behalf and ask for wisdom concerning him. You know, there is someone in the church facing some symptoms in their body, and it's a medical mystery. And so that's not okay with me. If it's not resolved by the doctors, if it's not resolved by your faith, it's not the will of God for something to remain and continue in your body. And so on their behalf, I have been going to the Lord and said, Lord, you need to reveal this. You need to reveal it to Tim, or you need to reveal it to me, or you need to reveal it to this person or their spouse or their doctor. Somehow, this is going to come to the forefront, because it's not right that it rain in that person's body. And so I ask you, give wisdom to one of us. You know, someone that has, and I say to me or to Tim, because I know this person would receive from us if we went to them and told them, you know, something that the Lord shared with us. And so, Lord, reveal it. You're the revealer of secrets. Bring it to the forefront. Why is this happening? And I will know. I will know. Amen. Even sometimes there were certain things, you know, in the church where I sensed that something was happening with someone, and it didn't seem good, but I couldn't seem to get it nailed down in prayer, like what was happening, how I could help that person. Was it a trial in their body? Was it a trial in their marriage? What were they facing that I could help them in? But if I persisted with it, God always showed me. He always showed me. And sometimes we haven't got the answer because we didn't persist long enough. Amen. Sometimes we need to go a little further, last a little longer in those things, and God will reveal it to you. And so one time when this happened to me, someone in the church, something was going on with them, and I sensed that at any minute they could leave everything, that they could leave the church, their spouse, their family, their job, and just move with someone else, disappear, move across the country. It just seemed like they were to the point where they were just going to leave it all. But yet, naturally, nothing seemed wrong. Nothing seemed like it was, you know, like they were fighting with someone or like they were facing a trial in their body or anything like that. Naturally, there wasn't any information to support that. And then on top of it, I asked him, and he didn't have that same witness. But he almost always does. When I ask him something, he almost always does. But it's a little lonely when your pastor doesn't have that same witness. And so, but you know what it says in 1 John 2? Go over here with me, 1 John 2. Because we have to learn to trust our own spirit. We trust our pastor's spirit. We trust Pastor Nancy Dufresne's spirit. We trust the person who leads up prayer. We trust their spirit. But listen, to stay safe in life, you got to trust your own spirit, because everything will not be revealed to your pastor. Everything will not be revealed to the prophet. It will be revealed to you. And God trusts or expects you to do what he trusts you with. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. You have an anointing, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Listen, there are certain things the Holy Ghost will tell you no man shared with you. Amen? That the Holy Ghost told you intimately in prayer time, shared with you. Listen, no one came up to me, you know, and told me I'm going to be in the ministry. Or no one came, you know, certain things. The Holy Ghost told me those things. And then when other men said it, it just bear witness. But this is for living. And so the anointing teaches you all things. It's the truth and no lie. Amen. So when you have something on the inside that's a witness in your spirit and nothing in the natural seems to like it's pointing to that way, and maybe your spouse doesn't, you run it by them and they're like, honey, I don't sense that. What you have to do is do this. Father God, I want you to know, I trust that I have the anointing on the inside, I have the unction on the inside, and it's the truth and no lie. It's the truth and no lie. So I'm staying with it. And so what happened was with this person in the church, I just stayed with it. I just stayed with praying for this person. And eventually one day in the hall after a service, I felt that I should go and talk to this person. Excuse me, before a service. And I talked to this person, and they started telling me some things that were going on. And the Holy Ghost, because I'd been praying, not because I'm Tim's wife, not because I minister the word, because I'd been using faith for this person, and the Lord could trust me that as I was praying for them. And so when I'm talking to this person, then the Holy Ghost gave me words to say for them. And it was like the next time I saw him, all that was gone. Not because of me. But listen, when you have an unction on the inside, a leading, whether it's about yourself or someone else, stay with it. It's the truth and no lie. It doesn't matter if all natural information, outside circumstances, don't look like that's true. God never lied to me, not one time. Let God be true and every man a liar. God never told a mistruth. So go with me over here, if you will. We'll go to the next thing, ask for wisdom. But also, that rest is a command. Rest is a command. Amen. Go with me, if you will, please, to Genesis chapter 2. Because I know this for myself, and so maybe it's true for you, that I used to think that rest was like an option, and that rest was for weak people who don't want to work. That's what I thought, honestly. Both sides of my family are workaholics, you know, just work, 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 work. But I also noticed this, they have lots of health problems as well, because you have to rest. And listen, did you ever get to violate any of the other 10 commandments and it blessed your life? No. So if rest is a command and you violate it, does it bless your life? No. But if you stay within the bounds of that commandment, it will bless your life. Bless your finances, bless your mental health, bless your body, bless your marriage, bless your job. It'll bless every area of your life if you'll stay within the bounds of that. Amen. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And I hope you know my heart tonight is to share these things with you, because I myself have failed in these areas, and I want to spare you the hurt of failing in these areas. So just take the lesson from me. Don't do it yourself, you know, of these things. Because I know in your mind, it's real easy to just say, yeah, yeah. I sense that, really, that people are just kind of like, yeah, yeah. Like they're still just going to do what they want to do. And listen, it's the Holy Ghost trying to prevent things in your life, trying to keep you safe and bless you. Amen. You know, Reverend Greer, I don't know if all of you know who he is, but he was a guest minister. He goes up to the Fredonia Church. And he said he had a pastor friend of his who'd been in the ministry for lots of years. And he'd gotten to the point where he was retirement age. And he went to Reverend Greer and he said, you know, I'm thinking about retiring. What do you think? And he said, well, you've been in the ministry all these years. You know, you have all this experience of pastoring. You know, you have all this life experience of following the Lord, experience of what works and doesn't work and all that kind of thing. And he said, why would you quit now? You've finally gotten to the point where you know some things and your congregation can partake of the wisdom that you have. Because he was thinking, I'll just retire and pass the church off to my son. And Reverend Greer said, but you've been around for all these years now. Let your people partake of all this wisdom. Amen? And so, yeah, how many of you know when you're 20, you think you know everything? And now that I'm 37, I don't know a thing, right? Because the more you know, the less you think you know. Amen? And I'm not saying I know anything. I'm saying that I have so much more to learn. But take the little I do know that I've learned by trial and error and failure, and don't do it yourself. Amen? Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And why don't you hold another, I want you to have ready the next scripture, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. So get that ready so we can go right there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Okay, so let's start here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day in all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. You know what that means? Make it holy. And so if something is blessed and sanctified, we need to be careful how we handle it. How do you handle your day of rest? Amen. God did not rest because he was tired or exhausted or worn out or, oh my goodness, look at all I've done. I need to take a break. He rested as an example to us. And then he told us what happens if we'll keep it. What he said was it's sanctified and holy. And he said, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we'll be blessed if we keep that. Go to Exodus now, the other scripture that I told you. Verse 8 in chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work. Any work. And so we'll keep reading, but let me share this with you. Someone asked me recently some things about stuff that I do at my house or routines that I have and that sort of thing. And I'm a mom with kids and a husband just like you. I don't have any kind of like magic tricks to get everything done in one day. And so, but I don't do laundry every day. I don't clean my house every day. I don't do stuff every day because there has to be time that I have off. Because the Bible says there's no work. Not a little, no work. Amen. So the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, and in it you shall not do any work, nor your son or your daughter, your manservant or maidservant, or your cattle or stranger that's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth. It's kind of like the tithe. You know, the Lord, you have 100% of your paycheck. He lets you keep 90%. He lets you keep 90%. You just bring 10. That's the easy part. And so rest, the same thing. He expects you, go ahead, work on 6 days if you want. I prefer just 5, but it don't ever work out like that. But work on 6 days if you want, but on the seventh day is like the tithe. It's holy. You don't touch it. Because what happens when you use the tithe on yourself? Yeah, some dangerous things happen. You open yourself up to the enemy coming and wrecking shop in your life. And so the same thing with your body, with your time. If you touch what God said is holy, there's only trouble. Amen. Who reached out? Was it Uzzah? Who reached out to study the ark? Was it Uzzah? Uzzah? Okay. So remember when the ark was going by and all, it was him, right? Yeah. So he reached out, because boys can't keep their hands to themselves. That's what it is. I got 2 boys and they're always wanting to touch, climb something. And so what did he do? He reached out to steady the ark. He touched what was holy and he dropped dead right there. Now, thank God that's the Old Testament. We're under grace. But still, you still can't touch what's holy and live blessed, just so you know. So just like we have 10% we bring to the Lord, we don't give it, we bring it. Because giving implies a gift, and it's not a gift. It's already his. You're just bringing it back to him. Amen? So 10% of your tithe comes, you get to keep 90. And the same thing with the day of rest. You get 6 days to yourself, and the seventh one actually is more to yourself than the other six because you don't have to do nothing. But that one, the Lord says, is holy. He calls it blessed, and you don't do any work on that day. Amen. So in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in it. And then he rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it or called it holy. And so go to one more scripture with me. I'm going to show this to you again, Exodus 31, because some people just don't believe me yet. Exodus 31. Go to verse 12. Exodus 31, 12. You know, even naturally, I was thinking about this. You know, we have on our road, we have different people who farm out the land around us. And I have never seen them use the same piece of land year after year after year after year after year. Why? They know they're going to wear it out. So just naturally speaking, even the ground, and what are we made of? Yeah. And even that needs rest. And so if you try and plant a garden at your house and you use the same piece of land over and over and over and over again, you'll notice that the quality of your crop goes down and goes down and goes down until it really doesn't produce much because you wore it out. Amen. And so even natural things need rest. Amen. And that's a lesson for us. Because how many of you know the Lord always, see, because as humans, we want to know something that we can see and we can touch and we can feel. And so he'll show us spiritual truths with natural things. Amen. So that we can see it. Because some people have to see it to believe it. Amen. And so the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it's a sign between me and you throughout the generations that you and me, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, thy soul shall be cut off from among thy people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of the rest, holy to the Lord. And whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. And so there's some other things that we could continue to read, but I'm not saying if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to die. But what I'm saying, if you do keep it, you'll be blessed. Amen. And so, but listen, I know also that life happens. That there are things where maybe you don't have one entire day exclusively to do nothing and to rest. If you can, that would be good. That would be the best to have, you know, because sometimes it takes longer to come down off certain things. You know, if you've really had a hard season at work or a hard week at work, it may take a little time till not just sitting there turns into rest. Because when I first started to rest, it wasn't restful. it was annoying. And it was a discipline for me because I was so used to going, and resting was boring. And there's so much more that needs to be done, and God needs me. And listen, on your day of rest, you don't even have to pray 6 hours. You don't even have to read your Bible the whole time. Rest includes doing something that's relaxing to you, that's refreshing to you, that you enjoy. Not that you don't enjoy those things, but that you are refreshed. He meant it for you. And so at the beginning when I rested, it wasn't rest. And so when I would lay on my couch or I would, you know, lay in my bed, I would just kind of sit there, but I didn't enjoy it. I'd be thinking in my mind about all the things that I had to do or that I should do or that I could do or that were going to await me when I took this time off. Because listen, even resting takes faith, right? And so what I do is I say, Lord, as I lay here and do absolutely nothing like you commanded, amen, it's not laziness, like you commanded, I trust you that somehow in the other 6 days, all that other stuff is going to get done. And you're going to help me do it. I know you are, because you never tell me something that's not a blessing to me. And so I ask him to help me get my other stuff done in the other time that I have. But if you don't have a full day, break it up into two. Take 4 hours, you know, Thursday, 4 hours Friday, or however you can do it, you know, that you get a decent amount of rest in those blocks of times. You know, 5 hours Thursday, 5 hours Friday, or, you know, however you can do it so that you get a full day. Amen. Now, and I know even for my husband, if he's been preaching a lot, you know, and that anointing stays on you, you know, after a service, have you ever gone home and you wanted to go to bed and all you did was stare at the ceiling because you've been under the anointing and you can't go to sleep even though your body's really tired? And so sometimes when you've been ministering service after service after service, you didn't have time for that anointing to leave you. And so what happens is then when you get to your rest time, it takes longer to come out from under that. And so sometimes even a day isn't enough. But follow your heart. Amen. Follow your heart, what the Lord has for you. And so the other thing that I wanted to share with you was follow your heart concerning what's okay to put in your body. What's okay to put in your body? You know, the Lord spoke to me a while ago, and it wasn't always this way. But I had some things happen in my body where I was attacked in my body, and it affected the chemicals and the hormones in my body so that then all my other organs started to not act right. And so after I recovered from that and regained my strength, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to only eat organic meat, fruits, and vegetables, and, you know, dairy. And so as much as I could to eat that organic, because it didn't have all the chemicals and the antibiotics and all that kind of stuff that's in there. Now, I'll go to a restaurant and still eat a steak, you know, and it's not organic meat. Or I'll have a salad at Applebee's or Ruby Tuesdays or something. You know, he's not saying every single time. He's saying as much as it's within my ability to do when I buy my own groceries and my own food, that he wants me to do that. Because that's for me. Because that's specific to my body. That's specific to what he told me to do to help keep my body from going, slipping back into that, and for health in my own body. And so listen to what the Holy Ghost would instruct you to do. Amen. He's instructing all of us to have a day of rest, but he'll instruct you concerning specific things that he wants you to do or to not do. You know, certain things maybe you need to avoid. And it can be something that you really, really enjoy. And so you may have to ask the Lord, Lord, I need your help. You know, I've eaten this for years. I had this drink for years. You know, my body's used to it. I enjoy it. Help me put it down. Help me put it down. Amen. Because he's telling you that to keep you safe. Amen. And so it will always bless you if you'll stay with what the Spirit said to you concerning your life. and I want to share one last thing with you, and that's this. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Listen, one day we are all going to give account of the life that we've lived here on earth. Did you know that? And included in that is how you treated your body. Amen. And so I want to share this with you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, and then we'll close. Now the just shall live by faith. And so, and then he goes on to say, if any man draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Because how many of you know that when you go to step out in faith, because it takes faith to follow the witness of the Holy Ghost. You know, when the Lord told me that he wanted me to eat all of that, you know, that have organic groceries, it takes faith for that because it's a lot more expensive. So Lord, you told me to do that, so you're gonna have to give me the money for these things then. You know, so what he tells you to do, you know, may not be easy for you, and you may have to use your faith in it, but there's a blessing in it. But listen, what he said over here is he said, if you draw back, my soul has no pleasure. Because as soon as the Holy Spirit witnesses to you something you need to do, do you know what your flesh and your mind does? Draws back, right? And we know we're a three-part being, a spirit, a soul, and a body. And listen, when you have three parts, you know, one-third alone, it's equal. This part, this one-third, and this one-third is all equal. But if you get two together, they're greater than the other one-third. And so your spirit is looking for something to side with it. Your spirit is looking for something to side with it to overcome the other third, right? And so, but your mind and your body try to become the two-thirds greater than your spirit, don't they? They try to gang up and tell you that your spirit don't know what it's saying. You're fine to keep eating that. Ain't nothing wrong with two pieces of pie a day. Ain't nothing wrong with six cups of coffee a day. You know, all that kind of stuff. Because your mind and your body want its way. So they'll gang up together, those two, against your spirit. And so you need something to side with your spirit. And so here's what I do. I tell my body what it's going to do. I tell my body what it's going to do. No, I refuse to drink that anymore. I refuse to eat like that anymore. My body doesn't even enjoy it anymore. Even if my body is craving it like no other time, I tell my body, you're not permitted to have that. You're not permitted to have that. Holy Ghost said it's not good for me. I'm not having it. Amen. And so it's going to take faith to follow the Spirit about what the Lord told you concerning your body. Amen. Don't draw back. Every time you go to step out in faith for something, do you know what happens? The spirit of fear will come to try and keep you out. Every time you go to make a step toward what the Spirit said, every time you go and make a step toward what the Word said, what happens is that spirit of fear comes to try and make you think that you're making a misstep and that that's not the direction of God. And what you have to do is 1 John 2:27, which is the Spirit witnesses that which is the truth and no lie. Amen. So you remind your mind and your body that my spirit knows the truth. That's what I'm staying with. Amen. So let's get ready to take up our offering tonight. Hallelujah. I believe you all want to be better stewards of your body. Amen. Because, you know, it's easier if you learn it and do it when you're younger. The younger you are, the better it is. You know, when I was a kid, I don't know if any of you all did this, depending on how old you were, but there used to be a lot of like, it's not a grocery mart, but the little stores in town, like the Rainers and the, what were some of the other ones? Landy's and, you know, like the little grocery marts, but they were mostly just for candy. Like, and if your mom needed a gallon of milk. And so all the time, I mean, anytime I had money, I got on my bike or I walked down to Wilson Farms and used all my money to buy candy. You know, I loaded up on Now and Laters and, you know, Blow Pops and all that kind of stuff. And I just ate as much of it as I wanted. When I was a kid, you know, we'd go trick-or-treating and I'd get my big, you know, jack-o'-lantern thing full of candy. And my mom let us have, we'd come out of the bedroom with it in the morning. We ate that stuff all day long. And so how many of you know you can't do that now at my age? Not that I'm old, but you can't do it anymore. And so Tim calls me the sugar Nazi at our house. And so I don't let my kids eat junk like that all the time, because then they don't have to undo it when they get older, because they just don't even have a desire for it now. You know, there's a whole generation, my stepdad is in this generation, where their parents cooked with bacon grease and Crisco. And if it's not made with bacon grease and Crisco, it don't taste right to them. And so fried is best, right? But try and tell those people to stop eating like that. Try and tell them. You could tell them you're gonna lose a toe because you're gonna have diabetes. And they'll still eat the stuff fried in Crisco and bacon grease, right? Why? Because that's what they did. And what happened? Their body got used to that. And the longer you go in that, the older you get, the harder it is to break. So listen, just undo it now. The earlier you undo it, the better it is. The easier it is for you. You can still undo it, but it might be a little bit more challenging on your flesh. Amen. Okay, let's take up the offering. Father, we thank you. We worship you for your word, Father. We glorify you. We honor you. Thank you, Father, for sharing with us tonight, Father, about keeping the Sabbath holy. Father, we purpose in our hearts to do our best, Lord, to obey your word. And so, Father, we just consecrate and dedicate tonight. We purpose and want you to know we are going from this time forward to keep the Sabbath holy. Father, we won't overwork. We won't undersleep. We won't violate the witness on the inside of those things concerning our body. We'll follow you in word and spirit. Father, we dedicate and consecrate to that tonight. And Father, we thank you that we get to bring the tithe and give the offering, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as those who give, it's given back unto them, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men pour into their bosom. In Jesus' name, amen. Anna has mine. Hallelujah. Well, was that enough conviction? I didn't mean it to be so heavy, but God is so good. You know, as a parent, you know, if you see your kid running toward the road, you don't just go, "Oh, honey, don't run toward the road." You go, "Hey," you know, you call on them and let them know, listen, you got to stop that. You know, and our yard where we are now is a little longer from like where our house is, you know, to the road. But when we lived on Linwood, we just had a tiny apron. I mean, it was hardly worth getting the mower out for. You know, we didn't have that much space. But listen, the closer they get to that road, the louder you get. You know, and why are you yelling at them? Why are you raising your voice? Because you want to keep them safe. Amen? And they don't realize the danger ahead. And it's your job as a parent to keep them from that danger. And that's the same thing with God. He's not telling us these things because he's trying to take something from us, because he doesn't want us to have something, because he wants you to go without your apple pie every day or anything like that. It's just that him calling out to you saying, "Hey, don't do this or do this and stay safe." Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Father, we worship and honor you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father. Amen. You're dismissed.